Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, what's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 9:45 here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Taking you up to 9:45, 15 minutes short tonight. Caps on the road in Anaheim taking on the Ducks. You can hear that right here on The Fan. John Walton, Ken Sabourin going to be on the call. And just so happens that the old Cappy Towels are talky hot right now. Excited to see if they can keep things shaking as they travel out west. So a lot to get to. Number to call is, as you know, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Heck of a lot to get to. Commanders, they were on the practice field this afternoon. And guess what? See, this is why I love coming in last here tonight. Because there's some of you out there that are riding around the DMV. You're picking your kid up from aftercare. You're going out and getting your, you know, highly carb-filled Friday night dinner. I had some carry out earlier today. Did a steak and cheese with some fries and a couple chicken wings. This is what you do on a Friday night. But I say all that to say this. There is some big-time Commanders news that some of you may not know about. We will get to that. Before we get out of this 6 o'clock hour, we'll have a couple guests stop by the show, as we always do. The Rooster, Chris Russell, going to join us coming up at about 8:15. We get his thoughts on where things stand with the Washington Commanders, not just in terms of Sunday versus Minnesota, but we'll also take a big picture look at the Commanders. What do you need to see here in the stretch run to make you feel confident about everything that this group has going on moving forward? So Chris Russell going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Before we get out of that 8 o'clock hour, our pal Tony Massenberg of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us. Brian Keefe, the head coach of the Washington Wizards, none too pleased after last night's 45-point loss at home to a Jaylen Brownless Boston Celtics team. So Brian Keefe postgame was a little bit agitated. We'll let you hear from him before we get to our guy Tony Massenberg. But I want to start here, man. The Dallas Cowboys last night, on Thursday Night Football, I was fooled. I was totally fooled. I saw a clip from our guy J.P. Finley, him and B. Mitch, talking about the game last night, and they put money on the Lions. They're smarter than I am. I was leaning Cowboys all the way last night. It's one of those situations where when you start talking good about Dallas, when you start feeling like maybe this group is turning a corner, wham, like a Mack truck. They hit you last night. Really seeing what it is and what it ain't with that group. Their defense still stinks. What we saw last night, though, if you got to watch this thing, we know their defense is bad. Their offense is honestly Super Bowl caliber when they're playing at the peak of their powers, but you can't afford 2 Dak Prescott interceptions. They don't have that type of margin for error. You can't afford a Jake Ferguson fumble, right? Like that stuff. That's stuff you can't get away with if you're the Dallas Cowboys because of your defense and how bad that group has been throughout the course of the year. Offensively, though, You saw CeeDee Lamb go down. You saw George Pickens looking like the George Pickens that we saw in Pittsburgh. And I'm saying that, and in the same breath, I'm going to come out and say this. I have rolled my eyes, Vic, all day long. You know what I'm saying is, oh, that's the George Pickens from Pittsburgh, and that's the George Pickens this, George Pickens that. What was so bad about what we saw last night from George Pickens? In all honesty, is it going to stop you from paying him? If he becomes available this offseason, would you don't want him? Because he's got a little bit of an attitude problem? We had too many nice guys on the Commanders. I need a jerk. Give me somebody that's going to come in there and shake the tree a little bit. But I know a lot of people were upset at George Pickens. Him and Richard Sherman had an interesting back and forth on social media because Sherm on the postgame show was very critical of George Pickens and his actions. 9 targets last night, only finished with 5 catches for 37 yards. He has not had a yardage output that low since September. So it is, it's been a while since we've seen George Pickens, or October rather, since we've seen George Pickens, you know, not be effective. Big picture though, looking at both of these teams that we saw last night, talking about Dallas and Detroit. I said it last night going into the game that I thought Dallas was potentially the most dangerous team in the conference. And after last night, when you add the caveat of CeeDee Lamb going down as well, they got some things to correct and figure out. Their defense is, quite frankly, a problem. Now, I would say this. For the most part, they were good stopping the run last night. And the numbers aren't really going to say much. You take away the explosive run that David Montgomery had of 35 yards, and then you take away Jahmyr Gibbs' 19-yard run. They were pretty good on a snap-in, snap-out basis when it comes to defending the run. Their problem last night, you saw, and credit to this Detroit offensive line, their problem last night was they couldn't get a pass rush. I thought they were too soft in coverage. I thought they weren't aggressive enough in trying to blitz and heat up Jared Goff. And if you're going to let Jared Goff stand comfortably in the pocket, he's going to dice you. And I thought, you know, that Quinnen Williams and Oso Odighizuwa and Kenny Clark, I thought that group would be able to wreak havoc against Tate Ratledge and the guys that they have on the interior, and they didn't. So credit to the Detroit Lions offensive line. I like the way that JP put it earlier today. I heard JP say this: I'm not betting against Dan Campbell when he needs it the most. I think I can agree with that. After further review, I think I can agree with that. But it doesn't make me totally, you know, fall off of the Dallas Cowboys bandwagon, so to speak. I still think that, you know, depending on how the cookie crumbles, it would not totally stun me if they were able to unseat Philadelphia atop the East by season's end. Philadelphia obviously has their own struggles. They've lost 2 in a row, and the last time we saw them on Black Friday, they were given a black eye by the Chicago Bears when you think about how well Chicago was able to run the football. But Philly's in prime time this week, Monday Night Football, wrapping up Week 14 in La La Land against Justin Herbert and the Chargers. They'll be without Jalen Carter. That's a big deal when you think about what has happened to Philadelphia in terms of stopping the run the past 2 weeks. Dallas ran it well against them on Thanksgiving, or rather, not Thanksgiving, the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. And then a couple of days later at home, you saw the Chicago Bears run it well against them. One thing that we know about a Jim Harbaugh coach squad, they are not going to be shy about their intentions to run the football. And guess who was a full practice participant today, who we haven't seen since the Washington game? Omarion Hampton. So if they can get the running game going and Omarion Hampton can get cooking, I think the Chargers make it 3 straight losses for the Philadelphia Eagles. And now all of a sudden, right, this is why this Washington season, to me, stings so bad. There are 3 games that you damn sure should have won. You should have won last weekend against Denver, right? We all agree with that. You should have won in Madrid against Miami. And then you should have beat the Chicago Bears in a game in which you totally gave away. I'm not trying to be hypothetical Harry here. Imagine if you had those 3 wins in your pocket and you're 6-6 instead of 3-9. You'd be right in the thick of the playoff picture in the division and within the conference. It just showed you, right? Football is a game of inches. Football is a game of inches. The margin for error is so slim. So slim. But for the Commanders, man, that's why, look, I don't want to call it like loser talk, but that's the best thing that I can come up with. This idea, this notion of wanting to lose games down the stretch, what the hell is wrong with some of you? Why would that be on your mind? You understand that. And look, I don't blame a lot of you. If you're in my age demographic, right, youngest in charge moving, if you're in that 18 to 30 range and you haven't seen anything and you've been searching for a quarterback as long as we've been in our lifetime, I get it. You're trained to think, well, once you're out of it, let's just tank the rest of the season so we can get the quarterback. We have the quarterback. We have the quarterback. We have the left tackle. We have the wide receiver. What we need is to invest in resources on the defensive side. And lucky for us, this draft, chock full of wide receivers, chock full of corners, chock full of defensive ends. The biggest three needs for Washington. Down the stretch here, I need to see which dudes on this roster are going to step up and show me, hey, that's not a hole for you next year. Hey, you don't have to worry about filling this position this offseason because you've got somebody in-house. Mikey Samristo, are you a legitimate outside corner? Can I rely on you and Trey Amos next year to be our starting two guys? I got to find that out. At defensive tackle, Deron Payne, we made a decision on your boy this past offseason. What decision are we going to make on you? You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot that's still undecided with this group. And here in the next couple of weeks, you're going to find it out because now this offense is back at full strength. And we're going to see what this group is made of starting Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, got some big-time breaking news post-practice for the Washington Commanders. The return of QB1, we'll let you know for certain on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling. Friday night edition of Overtime with the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, taking you up to 945 ahead of Caps and Ducks from Anaheim. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. As we ease our way into the 7 o'clock hour, a lot to get into, including an in-depth look at the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, Jayden Daniels, who may or may not be coming back coming up here this week. The head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, actually spoke to the D.C. media after practice and had this to say about whether or not Jayden Daniels would return to the lineup for the first time in a month.
Thought Jayden threw a great week of practice. He was full Thursday, full today. He's been cleared to play, and he will start Sunday. He really threw a great week, you guys. And like the other players, when you're injured, there's a lot of work that has to go back to it. I thought Jayden and the medical team put in many hours behind the scenes to get ready from treatment to rehab to specific brace to all of it. And that's what it takes, when you're, finding your space to get back. And so just gratitude for everybody, pulling the same space. Everybody here is aligned and how we want to get things done. So that was a good deal.
Jayden Daniels back in the lineup, starting for the first time since Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks about a month ago. And it is a welcome sight, honestly, man. I think when your season has gone the way that it's gone and you're sitting here at 3-9 with, five or six games remaining here, it's hard for the casual fan to try and find light at the end of the tunnel, to try to find a silver lining for why the final 5 weeks are important. And I think, to me, the biggest reason that the final 5 weeks are important is to see what this young man has. And it's not me wavering in my confidence in Jayden Daniels. It's I got to see it. We have seen so many one-year wonders throughout the course of the National Football League that, God forbid, I want to see my potential franchise quarterback play well. And in the six games that we've seen him, you'd be a damn fool to say he looked like the guy that we saw last year. He just doesn't. And for a multitude of different reasons, right? It's not all on Jayden Daniels. Not saying that at all. But at the end of the day, with the offense expected to be at full health on Sunday against Minnesota, what a perfect opportunity for Jayden Daniels against this Brian Flores-led defense, a group that's going to throw the kitchen sink at you. What a unique opportunity for him. What a unique opportunity for Cliff Kingsbury, who also has to continue to develop and grow as a play caller. This is what you want, right? I get that you're out of contention. I get that the playoffs feel like a long shot, and they are a long shot, but they're not totally impossible. I won't even talk about that tonight, though. Look, there are things to pay attention to, as we mentioned in the opening segment of the show. My number one thing, though, that I'm focused on here down the stretch is, how does Jayden Daniels play? Not only do I want to see him play well, I wonder how long does it take for him to get into a rhythm? And I also wonder this. Can he remind us why we were talking about this group as a potential top five offense this year? Can he remind us of that? That's the number one thing I'm focused on here for the final 5 weeks now that this offense is back at full strength. Because if your offense, if you can prove here in the final 5 weeks that your offense is who we thought they were going to be at the start of the season, then, like I said in the opening segment of the show, it makes that off-season laundry list a lot shorter. And I think that's got to be the goal here if you're Adam Peters and company. Because if you lose the final five, I would have to think that your need list only gets longer. And that's not what you want, because if we're being honest, you don't really have a lot of resources this offseason to get better. You're going to be relying on some in-house improvement to get back to where you were a season ago. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, I'll tell you the number one thing that Jayden Daniels must improve on down the stretch. Plus, I'll tell you my expectations for the final five games as well. That's next here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in charge, and O. Willingham, taking up the 945 Caps hockey. Comes your way following your boy. They're in Anaheim taking on the Ducks. John Walton, Ken Sabrin on the call right here on the Washington Capitals Radio Network. 8 o'clock hour, our pal Chris Russell going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on where things currently stand for the Washington Commanders as they get geared up for a super important game, in my opinion at least, this Sunday on the road against the Minnesota Vikings. And we found out earlier this afternoon that Jayden Daniels would be making his long-awaited return to the playing surface. We haven't seen him since Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm eager to see him return. I mean, I am so giddy to watch that dude play football this weekend, no matter how it goes, right? And I'll be honest here, I don't necessarily know how it's going to go, if I'm being honest here, right? I want it to go well. If I had to bet on it, and I'm broke, so I probably shouldn't be doing that, right? I would bet that it goes well. I would bet that he looks okay. I would bet that he doesn't look like a fish out of water. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he does. I also wouldn't be surprised if he does struggle this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings. And here is why. There's one thing that Jayden Daniels, in my opinion at least, does very well. Or did very well last year. It was his superpower, in my opinion. Playing on schedule, playing on time, getting the ball out of his hands at the top of the drop, and playing on schedule. In the six games that we've seen Jayden Daniels this year, for whatever reason, that simply has not been the case. Now, the numbers on its surface aren't bad at all, right? Completing 63% of his passes, that's a little low, but we'll take it. 8 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, He's thrown for a tick under 1,200 yards at about 7 yards an attempt. The numbers on its surface aren't bad. But when you take a deeper dive into his passing splits, there is one area this year in particular that he has struggled in, and it's been glaringly obvious. It's against the blitz. Jaden Daniels this year against the blitz has really struggled. I mean really struggled, which is why this weekend against Minnesota in a Brian Flores-led defense that blitzes at the highest rate in the National Football League, right? I don't know what I'm going to get from Jaden Daniels. In 6 games and 6 starts this year, these numbers via NFL Pro, in case you want to, you know, throw a hissy fit and say that I'm lying here, right? Jaden Daniels via NFL Pro in 6 games this year against the blitz has the worst completion percentage in the National Football League. This is not me making this up. This is not me trying to drive a narrative. It is context for why he needs to play down the stretch. It is reasoning. It is logic, right, for why the final 5 weeks are important here. I got to see him take a step forward. Because here's the other piece of this conversation that we haven't really opened up yet in terms of Pandora's box, right? He is extension eligible at the end of the 2026 season. He would then be eligible to sign a long-term extension. There are going to be some hurdles, in my opinion at least, and y'all can think how you want, right? In order for me to go to the negotiating table with him at the end of next year, there are some things that I must see. First and foremost, you have to start and finish 8 or more games. I need at least a half a season sample size. And even then, if it's only 9 starts because you missed 8 games, I'm going to have real doubts and reservations about whether or not I want to extend you long term. I know it feels good. Last year was great. But, like, we gotta stop. I don't know if the word is thirsty, but we gotta be patient here with this thing. There is still a lot left to be decided with this group. And I'm not saying that anybody's on the hot seat or anybody's job is in jeopardy of being lost. But there are some major questions, in my opinion, that still have to be answered about this organization long term. And whether you all like it or not, quarterback is one of those questions. What do you mean quarterback is a question? Yeah, quarterback's a question for me. Not that I don't believe in Jaden Daniels, but God forbid I want to see more. I believe in the individual. I believe in the person. I think he's a tremendous dude. I think he works his ass off. I think he's as committed as anybody. But the bottom line is, the best ability is your availability in this sport. And this year, he has raised major questions, to me at least, about whether or not he can stay healthy, which is why I need to see him in the final 5 games. The other thing is this. He has not played, or when he has played this year, has not played on time for the most part. There have been late decisions. That's why the interception against Chicago happened. There have been, you know, poor throws. There have been inaccurate passes. There's been him bailing clean pockets. Him not having the pocket awareness. He's been hit a lot. All those reasons are why I need to see him a little bit more, right? And I know there's been a lot of inconsistency at the skill position spot. All of that factors in to my expectations for him, what I expect from him, and what he should look like, all of that, right? But the bottom line is, right, like the Seattle game is the game that it really feels like somebody went peekaboo, you know, like it's, this may not all be great, right? He didn't look good against Seattle. He bailed clean pockets. He didn't get the ball out at the top of his drop. And we saw it in other games as well this year. Not as glaringly bad as it was to me against Seattle, but you saw it. And he's a second-year quarterback. There are going to be hurdles that he has to overcome. There are going to be hiccups along the way. I'm not expecting his development to be linear. I don't think anybody should have those expectations for anybody on this team or any young player in pro sports, right? Progression is not linear. Development is not linear. There are going to be ups. There are going to be downs. It is paramount, though, for him Sunday to get the ball out on time. And we keep wondering and keep asking ourselves, well, how is he going to protect himself? You know one way he can protect himself? By not scrambling. You know how he can not scramble? If he gets to the top of the drop and lets it go. That's how you don't scramble. Not saying I want to take away his superpower. Not saying I don't want him to scramble. But Sunday is going to literally be the perfect test. They are going to blitz the hell out of him. They may blitz on every snap. I would do it. When you have numbers like this, the lowest completion percentage in football when blitzed, when you have the lowest yards per attempt in the NFL when blitzed, I'm going to blitz you, right? when you've got one of the worst EPAs in the NFL versus the blitz, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to blitz you. How does Jayden Daniels overcome that? How does Jayden Daniels overcome that? That's the big question. And the flip side of it is this. His counterpart here in the nation's capital, Marcus Mariota, has been excellent this year versus the blitz. So I think it's a byproduct of him being a young quarterback that needs reps. Point blank. Am I concerned about his play versus the blitz? Maybe concerned is too strong of a word, but that's an area where he's clearly regressed, especially when you consider that last year he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL versus the blitz. So it kind of is what it is to this point. He has to show, coming up this weekend, if he plays, that last year's not a fluke. Point blank, Jayden Daniels, of all of the players on this roster down the stretch, I think Jayden Daniels should be under the microscope the most because he plays the most important position. He's got to see it. We've got to see it. Because like I continue to say all the time, he is extension eligible at the end of next year. There are some hurdles, there are some tests that he must clear, pass, however you want to call it, in order for me to feel comfortable going to the negotiating table. I want your calls, though, 1-800-636-1067. What are your expectations for Jayden Daniels down the stretch here in the final five games of the season? What do you need to see from the QB1 here in Washington to feel good going into this offseason? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we'll also let you hear from the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury. He had some pretty interesting thoughts about a certain second-year player on the offense. We'll let you hear from Cliff Kingsbury. Plus, take your calls next. So I just saw a short or a reel that just came out on the Team 980's YouTube. It's from the Junkies this morning, who you can catch every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 right here on The Fan and on the Team 980. And Eric Bickle is going scorched earth about a Washington Post article, I guess suggesting that Jayden Daniels should be shut down. I don't know who the writer is, and I'm assuming – He's saying her. There's no female Commanders reporter right now for the Post. It's Tashawn Reed and Tom Shad. Nikki Javala used to write for the Post. I don't know if she wrote an article in The Athletic saying this, but I can't believe EB's losing his mind in this clip. And I think it's so funny because this topic, for whatever reason, has become extremely polarizing, and it really shouldn't be for all the reasons I've listed here. It really shouldn't be. Jayden Daniels got to play. Point blank. He's got to play. He's got to play. 100%. So, like, this idea of him shutting it down for whatever reason, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I promise you, what's today's date? This is Friday, December the 5th. Today's my last day discussing this. Ever. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. He needs to play down the stretch. Do I need to give the explanation over again that I've been giving for 4 or 5 weeks now, ever since he first got hurt again? Stop it. Stop it. You all in the fan, a lot of people gained their credibility in a fan base back last year with me with just your willingness to root for the group and all this, but like, damn. Stop being such a worrywart. Stop acting like the sky is falling. We're in a really good spot, man. We are. I don't care what anybody has to say about it. I'd argue it till I'm blue in the face. I believe in the leadership. I think the foundation is set. Now it's about picking the right groceries to fill out this roster, which isn't going to be an easy task. I'm telling you now, Adam Peters, this offseason, has one of the tougher jobs in the National Football League when you think about how many free agents Washington has in-house. When you think about their lack of draft capital, it is not going to be easy to build this roster back up. You've got to make shrewd, sound decisions. And look, this is how I would describe the draft to this point for AP. I'm ready to hit some triples. I'm ready to hit some doubles. It's been a bunch of singles in the draft. I'm ready to hit a home run. I'm ready to hit a triple. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I gave you the numbers on Jayden Daniels versus the Blitz before we went to break. Real quick here, via NFL Pro, worst completion percentage in the NFL versus the Blitz, worst yards per attempt in the NFL versus the Blitz. He is facing the most Blitz-happy team in the NFL this weekend. What are your expectations for Jayden Daniels in his first game back against the Minnesota Vikings? 1-800-636-1067. Vic is in Akakik, wants to chime in. What's up, Vic?
What's up, Lunel? So, my expectations are for him to play well. The offense is at full strength during this game. And with the offense at full strength, having not had that through the duration of the season, even when Terry McLaurin was out, to measure his performance based on this time last year when the offense was at full strength, you're missing some variables. And you've missed variables all year. Do I think he's held the ball at the top of some routes sometime at per the snap read once the play starts? Yes, but I thought he did so sometime last year too. But what he did have was the full strength of the offense. But my other expectation is what I talked about last night, a couple nights ago, Lunel. And you made a point, you said you disagreed because leaders have to hold people accountable in the locker room, too, because they're on the field.
Uh-huh.
This is why I don't fully disagree with that, but I disagree with that to a point. The Dallas Cowboys of the 90s were led by Jimmy Johnson and those coaches. And when Jimmy Johnson left, they were so they were so organically programmed to be excellent that Jerry Jones was right, that they didn't need Jimmy Johnson to win another championship. They almost won it again in 94 against the 49ers, and the next year they won it. But after Jimmy left, you saw the luster of excellence begin to fall off. And it didn't matter that Troy Aikman was cussing people out every day. They started losing. And I'll give you one more example. Butch Davis created what Larry Coker inherited with the U. Butch Davis was not like the first 3 to 4 years of when he started returning the U to what it was, and he was a coach with the Miami Hurricanes and the Dallas Cowboys, so he understood Jimmy Johnson's excellence. He came from that. And after they set the accountability expectation, then Ed Reed said, by that time, we were running the drills. We were basically running practice. But their top key player said, we were afraid of Butch Davis because we knew his expectations.
So Vic,
we knew he didn't.
So Vic, are you questioning the stranglehold that Dan Quinn has on the locker room?
Exactly, I'm exactly questioning it, and I don't understand why people don't question it. For 25 years, every radio station that I've called in has never questioned the accountability performance of our head coaches. But when they get fired, then everything comes out the woodwork, and everybody has something to say about it. What he didn't do, performance-wise, analytic-wise, play-wise, scheme-wise, staff-wise. Huh. Everybody has something to say
Vic,
about
I will,
it.
Vic, I will rebuttal to this off-air. I appreciate you as always, good brother. For sure, you know that.
No problem.
That's an interesting perspective. It's an interesting perspective because I actually felt this way prior to Joe Witt Jr. being relieved of his duties. I wondered why we were watching the same guys get put out on the field after they were making the same mistakes week in and week out, and I did question the accountability. I was actually, Vic, I came in here, you know, I came in here scorched earth. I was screaming, hollering, hooting, in good spirit, obviously. I talked to Chris Russell on the phone on the way in here. So now you see why I was a little fired up. And one thing that me and Chris Russell were talking about, and he'll join us coming up here at 8:15, this notion, and it goes back to what Vic was just saying, this notion of the defense being marketably better with Dan Quinn as the play caller. I want to I want you all to line up on the phones with this, because I do want to go this way now all of a sudden, because it is fascinating, because we get another data point this weekend, but I know which way it's going to lean based off of a certain position. But here we go. 1-800-636-1067. Is the defensive resurgence in the past 2 weeks more of a byproduct of Dan Quinn's play calling or the opponent that they've played? 1-800-636-1067. Because if I was Joe Witt, I bet you my defense would look good against Bo Nix and Tua Tagovailoa. I'm telling you it would. This is my thing here. Look, I'm not saying Dan Quinn has no impact. It hasn't had any impact over the past several weeks. But can we pump the brakes just a little bit? Right? Can we pump the brakes just a little bit? And I love our media corps. This is my number one question, because the data is staggering in terms of how much more zone Washington has played here in the past 2 weeks. Can someone at the next Dan Quinn press conference ask, what about your personnel that you had on the roster to start the season? What made you think that that group, their best scheme that they'd be best under would be man-to-man coverage? Why not zone? Why did this change in mentality? Why did it come now? And then this offseason, to take it a step further, when you're bringing in corners, you want corners that specialize in man? Or do you want corners that specialize in zone? And I'm telling you what you're going to see down the stretch here. The next 5 weeks, they're not going to play a whole bunch of man coverage. They don't have the horses to do it. They never had the horses to do it. So why they were choosing to, at the rate that they were, which is one of the highest in the National Football League, behooves me. 110%. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What do you think is the bigger reason Washington's had this defensive renaissance, this defensive resurgence here in the past 2 weeks? Is it more of a byproduct of Dan Quinn's play calling? Or is it the fact that you played Tua and Bo Nix? Your calls on that next. We'll let you hear from the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury, coming up here momentarily. This is Overtime right here on The Fan, taking you up the 945. Caps Hockey comes your way following our local programming here tonight. John Walton, Ken Sabourin, going to be on the call as the fellas are out in Anaheim taking on the Ducks. And I'll say this, I hope, one, they're on this road trip right now. I hope they bring some good weather back, because it was cold as hell today. And then the other part of it is this, for those of you that have not been keeping up with the local puck action here recently, the old Caps talky hot, baby. Winners of something like 8 out of their last 9. I mean, they are absolutely in fuego right now. Ryan Leonard continuing to take steps forward and looking like a real deal superstar in the making. Alex Ovechkin lit the lamp twice the other night against San Jose. So, a lot to be excited about for the old Washington Capitals, man. I think they're quietly playing some of the best hockey right now in the Eastern Conference. We'll see if they can keep it up later on tonight, as I believe they're wrapping up their West Coast road trip tonight in Anaheim against the Ducks. So make sure you keep it locked here on The Fan all night long to hear some of that. A couple of calls on the line on this if you want to chime in at 1-800-636-1067. The Washington Commanders defense over the past 2 weeks have taken a step in the right direction. They've been marketably better. I think all the numbers allude to that. Is it more of a byproduct, though, of the play calling defensively with Dan Quinn taking over here, or is it the opponent? I think there's been a change in philosophy as well. These numbers coming from our guy John Keim, who found these numbers via True Media. Over the past 2 games, Washington has played 15 man coverage snaps. They played 10 on Sunday Night Football against Denver. They played 5 in Madrid against Miami. They averaged 17 man coverage snaps per game in the first 10 weeks. So there's been a philosophical change as well in terms of their desire to play more zone. And I wonder this, and I'm not asking these questions to try to sound like the smartest guy in the room. I just actually want to get to the bottom of some stuff. Are they playing more zone because they realize they can't play man, or is it because they're essentially best two man-to-man corners and Marshawn Lattimore and Trey Amos are on the shelf? Like, what's the reason? behind them playing more zone. And then, like I asked before, when they go into this offseason, are they looking for corners that are better in man, or are they looking for corners that are better in zone? What is the defensive philosophy here moving forward? Because it's, I don't want to say it's rare, but I don't think it's a good thing when you change your entire philosophy defensively midseason or 10 weeks in. It means there was a misstep, a miscalculation somewhere throughout this process, and I'm wondering what that miscalculation necessarily was. Let's go to Harold in D.C. What's up, Harold?
Hey, Linnell. I think that is more of a byproduct of the play calling, only because Dan Quinn is calling more aggressive plays, so he's getting more aggressive plays. Joe Witt called very soft plays, and they played soft. Joe Witt called defenses that made them think too much. And I think it's all on Dan Quinn and the way he does it. I got an example for you. Mm-hmm. If someone at the station approached you and said, hey, Linnell, maybe you should try this. It might work better for you. You would approach it a lot different if CK asked you to do it. The attitude behind which you did it would change because of who's directing you. And I think that's what it is.
So when I hear people say that, because I think you're not the first person to say it, Harold, and I do think there's some merit to that. What does that say about Joe Witt's ability to command the room? And what changed from last year to this year?
He was not ready for his job, basically.
Was he ready last year when the defense was
way
better?
No, he wasn't ready last year. Last year, the offense kept the defense off the field. This year, they're not, so they're getting exposed.
I think it's fair. I'm interested to see. The game that I'm circling next for the defense is Christmas Day against the Dallas Cowboys.
Of course, because what they did the first time, they can't do again because we got a defensive philosophy and a different play caller.
The other piece of it is this, which I don't know if I've heard any of my colleagues mention this week. Dan Quinn is going up against his kryptonite this weekend, a coach from the Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay coaching tree. He has had no answers against that coaching tree since he's gotten here, since he was in Dallas when he was in Atlanta. Matt LaFleur lit us up earlier this year. Clint Kubiak lit us up earlier this year. Devon Achane.
Well, that's because the architect of that offense was in the building looking at his defense every day, and he knew how to beat it.
Well, yeah. So why can't he beat it?
Dan Quinn could not adjust.
So why can't he beat it? You know what I'm saying? I'm just asking the real questions here.
No, but it's the truth. Like, hey, Shanahan's smarter than Dan Quinn.
Maybe that's what it is. Harold, I appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy your weekend, my man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, let you hear from Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator of the Commanders. He gave a vote of confidence to a certain player on the Commanders' offense, and I'll tell you why I'm not buying any of it. That's next. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Taking you up to 9:45 here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. I'm Linnell Willingham. I guess I forgot that part, huh? Well, if you couldn't tell by the rejoin music, I don't know if I want you listening to me anyway. A lot more to get to. In the 8 o'clock hour, Dane Brugler of The Athletic, and I hate that we're here already, but we are. Dane Brugler of The Athletic dropped a mock draft 48 hours ago. We'll tell you who he mocked to Washington, and then we'll ask the question of what your preference is coming up in April's draft. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to let you hear from Cliff Kingsbury. He spoke yesterday. He speaks each and every Thursday. That's what the coordinators do here in D.C. Well, now it's just Cliff because DQ speaks on Wednesdays and Mondays. But Cliff spoke as he does every Thursday and had this to say about Commander's second-year tight end, Ben Sinnott.
Yeah, he can do that. There's no doubt. I mean, he's a dynamic player in space for that type of position, can create separation, all those things. It's a tough room when you have one of the all-time greats in there that we lean on in those situations. But he's progressed just the way we'd want.
That last sentence right there is what makes me want to bang my head against the table. He's progressed the way that you want. Is that what you're really trying to tell me here? You drafted a young man with a top 100 pick for him to be a third string tight end for you, not to be your primary pass catcher of the future at the position. I have to believe that. Come on. It's no disrespect to anybody, but I think at this point, when you select somebody with the 53rd overall pick, right, you have some higher expectations. And Ben said it to this point. 3 receptions, 33 yards, and a touchdown. It's what he has this year. He has been targeted on the season 3 times. They drafted him to be the tight end of the future here. I'm at a point where I've come to the reality where I understand he's probably not the tight end of the future. As a matter of fact, I know he's not the tight end of the future. And maybe at least not the pass-catching tight end of the future. That spot to me is still TBD. I'm at a point where maybe Colson Yankoff, who I think to everybody watching clearly has a better athletic profile than Ben Sinnott, maybe he is the guy that gets the opportunity to be the pass-catching tight end of the future. But I'll tell you where I stand on it. Right now, to me, and before I even get there, let's just talk about the importance of Ben Sinnott hitting, man. I want to start with this, right? Everyone's got to understand this. Not every draft pick is going to be a home run, right? There are going to be some singles and some doubles and some triples. I would like for my singles and doubles, right, to come on day 2 of the draft, to come on day 3 of the draft, right? I'm talking rounds 5 or 4 through 7. If I draft you in rounds 1 through 3, your ass better become a starter on my team, or else I'm not going to be picking players much longer. That is what the good teams are comprised of. Draft picks in the 2nd round, in the 3rd round, non-negotiable in the 1st round, coming in and contributing. Not as rotational pieces, but as guys that are playing a majority of the snaps on their side of the football. It is absolutely ludicrous how infrequent we've seen Ben Sinnott. How little he's played this year is jarring. Because here's the thing. You had 3 second-round picks last year. And right now, 2 of them, and maybe all 3, depending on how you feel about Mikey Samer still. But I think that's somebody I feel confident in. In terms of Ben Sinnott and Jerzon Newton, dude, Sheldon Day outsnapped Johnny Newton this past Sunday. Colson Yankoff has got the same amount of targets as Ben Sinnott, an undrafted guy. So I put it this way. For those 3 second-round picks, if they all 3 end up not panning out, that is how you set your franchise back. It is. That is how you set your franchise back. When you do not hit on draft picks, you had 3 bites at the apple in round 2, and you've only found 1 starter. You can't hit at a 33% clip and expect to stay employed. Not saying I'm calling for anybody's job once again here. But on the season, like, it ain't good enough, Chief. It's not good enough. And I'll even take it a step further. Right? For Ben Sinnott. Because I'm going to give you the season numbers. And this is where I go, okay, you can't say you're totally pleased with his development and everything's peaches and roses when Ben Sinnott is not really playing a whole lot. He's not. And I don't know why it's not showing right here, but Ben Sinnott has played something like 26% of the snaps this year. That ain't good. It's not good. Ben Sinnott has run 50 routes this year. Robbie Chosen's run 43. Just for context here. So, like, he's the guy that they got to figure something out with Ben Sinnott. I need to see more. I'm not saying play him just for the sake of playing him, but damn, here we go. Here we go. Against the Packers in week 2, Ben Sinnott played a whopping 3 snaps. The very next week against the Raiders, he played 32 snaps. 24 snaps against the Falcons, 17 against the Chargers, 17 against the Bears, 20 against Dallas, 11 against Kansas City. That's the point here for me. They're barely playing the kid. They're totally pleased with his development. something's not clicking when it comes to the Ben Sinnott experience. And, like, to me, that's something that sets a franchise back, man. Honestly, that is something that sets your franchise back when you do not hit on those day two picks in the second round. You cannot afford it, especially when you consider the way this roster is built. This offseason, is why I said it a couple of segments ago, man. This offseason, Adam Peters has one of the more difficult jobs in the NFL for this reason. The Commanders only have 34 players signed for next year. That is the second lowest number in the NFL, meaning they're going to have to sign 19 guys to fill out this roster to get to 53 at least. I just don't know, when you consider all the free agents that they have, unless they want to just keep turning the roster over with a bunch of one-year deals, how do you go sign an impactful free agent? Where does the money come from? Where does the money come from? Because Terry's extension kicks in next year. That's why a decision on Daron Payne is going to be very interesting to see. It's just all fascinating to me, man, because I want to feel good about everything. I do feel good about everything for the most part. I'll be honest, right? Like I said, I trust the leadership. I trust the plan. I just don't know. Like, Adam Peters, you got to show me something, man. You got to show me something. Because right now, I'm not totally sure my confidence level in you picking groceries. Honestly. And if I'm being real, this draft is probably the most important one in the 3 years that they've been here. They got to get it right. They got to get it right, because at some point you want to stop giving out one-year free agent deals and you want to supplement your roster, the floor in the middle of the roster, the core of your roster, through the draft. We didn't sign Adam Peters. We weren't geeked up about Adam Peters coming to Washington for his ability to trade and sign free agents. We wanted him here because he was known as a guy that knocks the draft out of the park. And to this point, he hasn't done that. Jury's still out for me. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Chris Russell going to join us at about 8:15. When we come back, we'll take a look at the mock draft. Dane Brugler of The Athletic mocked a player to Washington on Tuesday. I'll tell you who next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.